And I'm Landon's dad, Jeff, and we are excited for episode 2. So thanks for taking a few moments of your time to listen to us on the most listened to daily Dolphins podcast on the internet. All right, Landon, you had the idea for tonight's show, so why don't you tell everybody what we're going to be doing?
So we're ranking our top 5 things that we're looking forward to next season.
Okay, and you will have a chance to participate in our podcast, as always. If you like what we say, you agree what we say, if you like Landon's list better than mine, you like my list better than his, just leave a comment below on DolphinsTalk.com. And, of course, if you have show ideas for us, this is that quiet time in the offseason where nothing is happening that matters at all. Give us some suggestions, and we also would love to answer some of your questions, which you can leave for us below. All right, Landon, why don't you start off with your number one?
So what I have at number one is the receiving core. I think that we've made some nice changes, adding Danny Amendola and Albert Wilson, and I think that they're going to be a deadly threat as a duo. And they still have Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker. I think it's going to be interesting seeing them in the same locker room and the same team playing together, trying to get, like, touchdowns and win games.
Okay, so we're actually going to go backwards. So hopefully that'll be your number 5, and we'll count our way up because that makes it for a better show and a better podcast. So your number 5 thing you're looking forward to is the receiving core. I think that's interesting because obviously last year the receiving core was skewed where a lot of the receptions went to one person, to Jarvis, and now it sounds like they're going to spread the ball out a little bit more.
So now we have a chance to see players like Devontae Parker. They have a chance to show up, and if they don't, then maybe next year we won't re-sign them or offer them an extension and we'll let them walk.
Yeah, but, well, Devontae Parker's got to actually stay healthy for once. If he's not healthy, as good as he looks, it doesn't really matter. All right, so here's a question for you, Landon. Do you want to do your number 2 or your number 4? Do you want me to do my number 5?
Your number 5.
All right, my number 5 kind of dovetails right off of what you're doing. It almost seems like we planned this. But that's the tight ends with both Gesicki and the tight end from Smythe from Notre Dame. I am excited for us to finally have a tight end that can be a game changer because tight ends catch touchdowns. And we haven't had that forever in Miami. I mean, Randy McMichael, you have to go back to Keith Jackson. We have not had a tight end in a really long time that has been a game changer for us. So I'm excited to see what these two tight ends can do. That being said, they're rookies, so we have to give them time. But if you can put in a package of plays where you can get a 6 foot plus, you know, Gesicki, 6'4", whatever he is, against a smaller defensive back, and Tannehill can throw a jump ball, in theory, the taller guy is going to catch it. Right, Landon?
Yeah, in theory. That's how it's supposed to work.
This doesn't seem very complicated to me. It seems like you come up with a package of plays where you put these guys in situations where they're going to have better matchups, and that's where I'm excited to see my thing is the tight ends and then kind of the secondary receivers, whether it's a back coming out of the backfield, whether it's going to be Kenyon Drake, who's excellent at catching the football, or Frank Gore. Let's just see the mismatches happen. But the two rookie tight ends I'm excited about. All right, Landon, let's hear your number 4.
It's kind of funny because this is somewhat similar to yours. I have the younger players. Now, this is kind of general, but this is talking like Minka Fitzpatrick, all of the younger players, Albert Wilson, all of the younger players who have time to develop, make moves, kind of like Kenyon Drake, all of them. I think that all of those players, they're going to be awesome to watch. It's going to be a great season to watch them make some good plays, maybe sometimes make not the best plays, but it's going to be fun to watch them play and grow on the Dolphins.
All right, I think that's a really good point, and it makes sense that the younger half of our podcast duo here would pick the younger players. I'm not going to pick the older players, but I think that makes sense, Landon. Tell me, of all those guys you just talked about, the names you just mentioned, who is the one, because one of the things we talked about in episode 1 is that every player I get you a jersey for either gets hurt or gets traded. Of those young players, because I'm not going to buy you any more jerseys of those types of young players, who would be the player, if I would buy you a jersey, that you would want?
Probably Kenyon Drake, because I think he's going to have a good season, but I'll touch on that in a little bit.
All right. That's interesting. Kenyon, don't worry. We will not buy Landon your jersey. You will not either get hurt or get run out of town. All right, my second thing that I'm most looking forward to is the secondary. I think that Xavien Howard is going to take even a bigger leap up. I think, and I could be proven wrong here, but I think Cordea Tankersley is awesome. There's a great article on golfinstalk.com that just talks about some breakout players. I can't remember who wrote it. I think it was Bobby Melendez, but I could be wrong. And it started off talking about Tankersley. You can't teach speed. And also, it just seems like he's fearless out there. And the fact that he got thrown kind of to the wolves last year is only going to help him. I like Troy Lippett when they drafted him. He seemed to have good ball skills as a wide receiver when he was at Michigan. And before he got hurt, he seemed to prove ourselves pretty well. Rashad Jones is a known commodity. And Minka Fitzpatrick. I mean, if Minka Fitzpatrick is everything that Nick Saban says he is, and as you guys are going to learn through listening to these episodes, I do not like Nick Saban. I do not like Nick Saban one bit. Landon's too young to remember when Nick Saban was the Dolphins coach, and I'm glad that you are. But Nick Saban raves about this guy, and if he's three-quarters of the player that Nick Saban says he is, we have a game-changing person in our secondary. And I love rooting for secondaries. I'm also a big fan of, you know, I remember being as a kid with some of the secondaries that I grew up watching in the 80s with those teams, and it was just super fun to root for these guys to make plays. And I think this is going to be a super fun group of players to watch, and I'm looking forward to them shutting down some receiving cores because it's really fun when that happens.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the secondary is one of the most underrated parts of football because everyone wants to watch the offense score points. But what's more satisfying than when the defense gets a turnover?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that's fun, and it's fun for the crowd, and it's kind of a momentum killer. And I just love this young secondary that they've put together. And let's throw T.J. McDonald in there, who I still think can be effective in the five defensive back set. Bobby McCain, who was a great slot corner last year. So they have bodies. They have lots of them. I'm excited for the secondary. All right, Landon, number three for you.
I have Kenyon Drake. I think this man deserves his own spot on the list. I think he's going to have a great season as the number one. I remember back when we had Lamar Miller, he was the number three. Then he became the number two. Now he finally has the starting job. He can now do what he's done in the fewer amounts of plays. We are going to give him chances to make runs and plays, even catches and trick plays. I think that he's going to be able to do that, and he's going to be a very enjoyable player to watch because if you're seeing him run down into the end zone multiple times, then that's a good thing. He's happy. We're happy. The Dolphins are happy.
All right. Well, Landon, you don't remember this because, again, you weren't born, but I used to attend all the University of Miami home games in the Orange Bowl when I was growing up, both in elementary school, junior high, and high school, and they won 56 games in a row. They never lost, and there were just so many great professionals who came out of all those University of Miami teams, Hall of Fame players, you know, defensive tackles, linebackers, cornerbacks, wide receivers, running backs. Frank Gore was one of those players. It was amazing. You know, I'm older than Frank Gore, so he wasn't part of those teams I watched, but you get the point. Kenyon Drake came from Alabama, just like I just talked about Minka Fitzpatrick. We obviously have good relationships between Adam Gase and Nick Saban. As much as I don't like Saban, it's going to help us. There were guys who we could have drafted like Reuben Foster last year. We didn't draft them. I'm going to give Gase and the team credit for picking, and Chris Greer too, who worked with Saban, picking Saban's brain and knowing. When you take guys from the best college program, and they're winners in college, and they're winners in the pros, it just seems to work for me. I don't always love trying to find the small school guy because you don't know the competition. You knew who Kenyon Drake was based on who we practiced against every day and who we faced in the SEC, and now we saw a little bit of it last year. Landon, I think that's a very, very good choice on your list. That's where you're supposed to say, thanks, Dad.
Thanks. All right. What do you have on your number three?
So my number three is actually Adam Gase. I am excited to see Adam Gase get to run the offense he wants with the coaches he wants and the players he wants. Clearly there were guys here the last couple years who Adam Gase didn't want to have here. He didn't select them. He wasn't part of the process. He inherited them. He also had coaches that he probably didn't want. And the reason I know that is because they're no longer here. He has the people around him he wants. He has as many of the players that he could get around him as he wants. I'm sure some of the guys that we lost this year, he would have loved to have had. I'm not trying to say that, but at the end of the day, the guys who are here are guys in the team is now molded in the way he wants it to be. So I'm excited to see Adam Gase finally have a couple red zone targets in terms of big tight ends. I'm excited to have him have running backs that he wants. I'm excited to have him have some playmakers in the secondary that we didn't have when he got here. Let's see what this guy can do, because I believe he's a great coach. I think that he has what it takes. Ultimately, you don't have too many more opportunities to prove it. And what would always scare me is if Adam Gase has a bad year this year and then they clean house and then he goes somewhere else and becomes amazing. Because lots of coaches have struggled in their first stint, and a lot of people and owners don't give people time. So I'm hoping Adam Gase will right the ship this year. We'll get us. To me, it doesn't even have to be playoffs, but to get us where we're in the playoff race all the way through the season, because clearly everyone in Vegas and other places, like Mike and I talked about on the pod the other day, are picking us to be one of the worst teams in the league, which is absurd. Mike and I covered that, so we don't have to here. But Adam Gase having these opportunities, I think, is going to be great, and I want to see what he can do and kind of show this man scientist, creative genius that he is as an offensive coordinator.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think Adam Gase is a great coach. I mean, he's going to do great for the Dolphins. He's going to do great things.
And we just need to finally give him the tools that he wants. And now it's on him. And I think that's the point. The point is it's on him to accomplish the things he wants to accomplish. All right. So you're listening to the Landon and Jeff Show on DolphinsTalk.com. I am Jeff, and my 12-year-old son Landon is about to give you the number two thing that he is most looking forward to of this Dolphins season.
So my number two is Ryan Tannehill. I am looking forward to seeing this man play. We have seen him in the beginning of the season, but we never really see him play in a full season for a long time. And now, as you said, he has the players he wants, with Adam Gase, has the players he wants. This is going to be a dynamic offense. This is going to be awesome to watch Ryan Tannehill play. And with all the younger players and getting the ball off of turnovers, seeing trick plays run, 50-50s up to the tight ends. I think this is going to be Ryan Tannehill's greatest year. I think this is going to be one of his best years, and I think he's going to play well, obviously, because he's my number two.
Well, yeah, I would hope so. If you picked him not to play well and you made him number two of things you're looking forward to seeing this year, that wouldn't be a good Dolphins fan, would it?
No, it would not. But I really do think that he's going to have a good year.
Do you think Tannehill has to worry because you have a Tannehill jersey? Or do you think that we've already used as much of the bad jinx scenario of you and your jerseys on him that the last 2 years? Do you think that's over by now?
Hopefully it is. If not, I think we might have to leave it at your house and just leave it there
for a long time. All right, we can work on that. All right, so Landon's number two thing is Ryan Tannehill. What's interesting, it's like father, like son here. My number two thing is Ryan Tannehill as well. And the Dolphins are only going to go as far as he takes them. And it was really great to see, as Mike and I talked about the other day, the OTAs mean absolutely nothing. Until they put pads on and they line up against the Tennessee Titans, none of this stuff matters. But it was nice to see him jog onto the field with no knee brace. So Armando Soguero, the great Dolphins writer for the Miami Herald, had a nice piece kind of talking about how Tannehill looks healthy and talked about different plays that he made in the OTAs. Again, these guys are wearing shorts. No one's even in pads. Certainly no one's going to hit him. But at the very least, seeing him move is better than not seeing him move. So I'm excited about Tannehill. The other thing is Tannehill was never playing better than he was right before he got hurt at a game Landon and I attended that the Dolphins did win a couple years ago. Against the Cardinals, he'd never looked better, and the offense was moving, and the team had a great record, and yeah, you can say that a lot of it was Jay Ajayi playing really well. He had the two 200-yard games, that's true, but Tannehill was running that offense in a way that allowed people not to stack the box against us, allowed Jay Ajayi to get these numbers and yardages. If he's playing well, do I think he's elite like some of the top quarterbacks in the league? No. You'd be crazy to think he's Aaron Rodgers level or the guy who plays for New England, whose name I'm never going to say on this pod level. You'd be crazy. But in our offense, with our players, it seemed to work. And I just would like to see Ryan Tannehill get a full season of health with receivers who have health, with a line who can block, and let's see what he can do. Because he's been here a while. He's been here long enough. It's kind of to the point where this is the year that he has to put up or shut up, and I'm excited to see him put up. So, Landon, we both agreed on our number two, and we are left with just our number one choice each. What's your number one choice?
My number one choice is just watching the Dolphins. Yeah, it's a competition and all, but who doesn't like watching the Dolphins? If they just play for fun, people would still watch the Dolphins. That's just because it's enjoyable to do. So I enjoy watching the Dolphins even when we lose, as long as we play well. And I just like watching the Dolphins. They're the key components. I think it's just going to be a fun team overall. And I think it's going to be a fun year. And watching the Dolphins is one of the awesome things that I get to do during the year. And I look forward to it. And I think watching them this year will be great because we have Kenyon Drake, Ryan Tannehill, who will hopefully stay healthy. We have the defense that's finally looking like it could make multiple plays in a single game.
All right,
so I think watching the Dolphins will be fun.
That's where this podcast is so much fun for me to do, because that's my 12-year-old son saying that, and to hear the joy that he gets out of the Dolphins. And yes, we have some crazy Sunday conversations when we're not happy with how they're playing, and we can't understand some of the things that they do because it happens. But you know what, Landon, you play soccer, you play sports, you understand that even if you know what to do and even if you try to do it your best and even if you want to do it, sometimes it just doesn't work out. That's sports. That's what makes it so exciting. So to hear the enthusiasm in your voice about that really, really makes me happy. And that's one of my greatest thrills as a parent, is to share my love of sports and particularly of the Miami Dolphins with you, and know that it's something that no matter what, win, lose, how they play, that we're always going to keep talking about it and always going to dream for that day when they make the Super Bowl, because we have a promise that we will go to the Super Bowl together no matter where it is, when it is, when the Dolphins get there. Please, guys, let's make it soon, okay? I don't want to wait too much longer. My number one is actually a two-part. Number one is my favorite Sunday of the year, every year, is when I take Landon and his sister Amelia to a Dolphins game. We haven't picked which game we're going to. We kind of talked the other day about maybe going to opening day against the Titans. We haven't done that yet. So that's kind of on the table. But that's kind of, for me, that's clearly the number one thing I'm most looking forward to is the chance to attend the game. And like we said in episode one of the Landon and Jeff Show, Landon, what is the Dolphins record in games you have attended at the what is now known as Hard Rock Stadium?
It's flawless. We haven't lost yet.
I know.
So if we go to the opener, we can go on a win streak early.
I know. So we probably need to do that, or maybe somebody will be listening to this pod and buy us season tickets, because that would be really nice, and that would ensure that the Dolphins would have a perfect season at home. We wouldn't attend the preseason games because we wouldn't care about them. My number one thing on the field that I am looking forward to is Raekwon McMillan. I don't know why I'm fascinated by this guy. Maybe it's because I watch a lot of college football. I have a couple friends who work a lot of college football games that I'll try to watch their games, and they did a lot of Ohio State games. This guy just made plays everywhere. And when we got him, one of my closest friends who attended the Ohio State University said to me right away, sent me a text, like, you're going to love this kid. He's going to be a leader. He's going to fly all over the field. He's going to be the linebacker you guys talk about for the next 10 years. And to have him get hurt on the first play of a preseason game covering a punt was just really, really, really kind of a sign of things to come for the Dolphins. And I'd like to think that Raekwon is going to get a chance to stay healthy this year and to thrive and to be a leader in the defense. And as you can probably tell from the couple choices that I've made, I enjoy when we have great defenses. I love the Killer Bees defense growing up. I love when a stadium gets loud supporting their defense, because it's not as much fun when the Science Movement's a quiet offense at work. It's great to be loud and to listen to the place come to life with behind a great defense. And I think if our defense is going to be great, that Raekwon McMillan's going to have to be healthy, and he's going to have to be a major, major, major part of that. So that is what I'm looking forward to on the field. But like I said, my true number one is being able to take Landon and sister Amelia to yet another Dolphins game and to leave Hard Rock Stadium with yet another victory.
Yeah, I'd agree with that statement for the victory.
All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for episode two of the Landon and Jeff Show. How do you think we did, Landon?
I think we did pretty good, hopefully, anyway.
Yeah, hopefully you guys liked it. And if you did, please leave us a comment below in the comments on DolphinsTalk.com. We are going to kind of have a sporadic schedule up until when training camp starts. But when training camp starts, Landon, we are going to do one show a week all the way through the season. Mike and I have been talking. We are even going to have a competition between the Landon and Jeff Show and Mike, who hosts the main show here on DolphinsTalk.com. So that's something to look forward to. But again, we want to really hear from you, because we can talk to ourselves without doing a podcast. Landon and I talk every day. But we can certainly get better, and we certainly want to hear from you and tell us what thoughts you have to say. So just leave us comments below, or you can reach me at Twitter, at Jeff Newbarth. Maybe one day Landon will get a Twitter account, but hopefully not too soon. I don't need him on social media. Landon, any final thoughts before we sign off of episode two?
Everyone, I think we had a good job, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening. Not really.
All right. Well, I want to ask you one more thing before I let you go. It's summer vacation for you. Isn't this crazy? It's May and you're already done with school. What's it
Oh my
like
God,
to
year went by so fast.
what's it like to be a 12-year-old and on summer vacation? Because a lot of us don't remember those days. It's been a while.
It's been a lot of fun. I mean, I've just gone to the pool and my first day, and that's basically all I've done. And I've played my Xbox a little bit, which you guys probably didn't get to do that much. But yeah, swimming with my friends, it was a lot of fun.
All right. Well, I expect you to be studying for the next Landon and Jeff show because Landon on his own came up with the topic that we're doing here. And Landon, I'm going to expect you to do that again because the next couple of weeks are pretty busy for you, Dad. We got a lot of interesting stuff happening at Callaway Golf. So I'm going to be busy doing that. Thanks so much, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Landon, for being a part of episode two. Thanks to Mike for allowing us this opportunity at dolphinsdoc.com. I think there's some websites I'm supposed to say that that support this podcast and everything at dolphinstalk.com. Maybe Mike will drop that in for me or just listen to one of his podcasts. He does a great job at the end. And thanks, everybody. And we will see you next time for episode three of the Landon and Jeff Show. Thanks, pal.
Bye.